2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Appreciate the singing tonight. I'm preaching to everyone tonight. I think I try and do that every service. But when I announce what I'm preaching, you may wonder, but I'll explain it in just a second. I want to try to preach on this thought. When are we going to get tired of losing? Now, for some of us, and I use the word us, which includes me, this message will apply greatly. And some have more victory than others, and there's no doubt about that, and my message tonight does not suggest for a second that I think we're just a bunch of losers that never have any victory, never do anything right, never please God. That's not my burden. That's not my fault, and certainly not my intention in preaching this message. But all those things being said, we still lose more than we ought to. I didn't think I'd get a lot of amens, but I'll still say it. We lose more than we ought to. Some of you, I got guilty, and you at least mumbled amen a little bit. But we are in a fight. We are in a battle. Hopefully, we're on the Lord's side. Those who are saved are. But we have an enemy, and that enemy is contrary, completely opposed to God and anybody affiliated with Him, or anything that God does. And I promise you, and you know this, but anytime God begins to move in your life personally, or in a church, or in an area, there's a lot going on. The Lord is pleased, and God's people get help. God's name is honored, but everybody doesn't like it. Our enemy gets upset. It bothers him. And he intensifies his work. He intensifies his attack. And so many times, we allow him to defeat us. So I want to ask the question, try and deal with it tonight. When are we going to get tired of losing? Paul seemed to have that on his heart. And he writes, after he writes about the man who had sinned, and he dealt with that in 1 Corinthians, and now the man has repented and gotten right, and Paul says that he has, if you will, paid his dues. That's not a good way to put it, but that's his implication. And he is saying to this church, now you need to receive him and help him and open your hearts to him. And in the middle of that story, in the middle of him dealing with that, here's what he writes. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. He, in essence, is saying, do these things that I have said, do these things that God has said, because the devil would love to get his foothold and would love to do damage and make things even worse than they were before. He says that to the church, but it can be applied to us individually. The devil wants to get an advantage of you. He does of me. And the word advantage is a very interesting word. It means, as we would probably think, to gain control or to influence. But mingled in with that word has this thought of covetousness. To covet, to desire for evil purposes or reasons. That's what covet means. So we find here that the devil doesn't want just to control us, but he wants to do it for selfish reasons. You know what he's wanting? He's wanting us to let him control us. That's always been his desire. That was the desire of when he, as Lucifer, said, I will exalt myself. I will become like God. That was his intent at the garden when he spoke with Eve to control. That by the means of control, that he might gain the thoughts and the actions of people. He does it for selfish reasons. And that's exactly what he's attempting to do tonight in every heart here. He has a desire to gain an advantage of us, to control us. But the Lord said through Paul, we are not ignorant of his devices. We see what he's doing. We recognize his tactics. We recognize his attack. And so those thoughts in mind, I want to ask us this question. When are we going to get tired of losing? Will you notice again what this verse says? He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Again, the implication is that the devil suggests things or speaks to our mind. He is attempting to gain control. And he does it quite well if we will let him. So from that, I want to say first, the devil is a leader. He wants to be the leader, the controller, the influence. He wants to be the God of our lives. And if we let him, he will. That's why Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It indicates there that he has power, that he knows what he's doing, and in his attempt to control us, he makes suggestions, he influences. The Lord called him the prince. You hear that? The ruler, the leader, the prince of the power of the air. So I do know this from what I've already said. The devil wants to lead me. The devil wants to influence me in an attempt to control me. The devil is a leader. He's a ruler if we'll let him. But he's not like a drill sergeant that barks out commands, that leaves that private almost hesitant to even get up in the morning. And the private may obey, but he doesn't do it because he wants to. He does it because he's afraid of the drill instructor. And he realizes if I don't do what he says, I'm going to pay. So he obeys what the drill instructor says because he's afraid not to. That's not what the devil does. The devil, in an attempt to lead, makes suggestions. You see, a good leader knows the people he's trying to influence. He knows what will work. The same thing will not work for everybody. Everybody is different. And the devil examines us. He does not know everything. He cannot read our thoughts. He is not omnipresent. But he's a smart dude, and he examines us, and he watches us, and he knows how to influence us, each and every one of us, to where he'll say, come on, come on, come here, let me talk to you a minute. See, that's what he does.
He is a leader. He is a good leader. Now, it's nothing wrong with being a leader. Nothing wrong with influencing people. I wish I was a better one. I wish I could influence people more. I wish I had a greater influence on people. And it's wonderful if you're a leader for the good. But if you're a leader for the evil, if you're a leader for the bad, there's nothing good about your leadership. But if we're not careful, we'll let him influence us. We'll let him lead us toward evil, toward bad, and toward his desire. The Lucifer of that we read about in the Old Testament is the devil of today, and that devil is a leader. And he will control us if we let him. You see, he can't make us. He does not bend your arm behind you and say you're going to do it whether you like it or not. God doesn't give him that authority. He does not have that power. But he can say, come here a minute. Let's talk a little while. Let me tell you what I'm thinking. Come on. He's a wonderful leader. The devil is a leader. But notice again what the verse says. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. There's more to this word than this, but it is this. Tools, weapons, plans. Those plans like the commander works out in the attack of the enemy. He has it all planned. He has it all devised. He knows where this troop's going to be and where this group's going to be and where these people are. And he knows where his enemy's going to be. And he makes a plan. That's his devices. That's his plan. And that's a part of what this word device here is. It's the devil's plans. It's his tools. It's his weapons. And the biggest weapon I believe he's using in this day is lies. Lying to us. So not only is the devil a leader. Come here a minute. Come here. Come on. Let's talk. But he is a liar. And the Bible's full of that. One verse is in Genesis 3:4, where the serpent, the devil speaking through the serpent, said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. God tell you that. You can't believe half of what he says. That ain't going to happen. You got better sense than that, don't you? And the thing about a good liar, the thing about a good liar, and the devil's the best one I've ever heard of, is a good liar can convince you they're telling the truth. That's what a good liar does. That's what a good lie is. And if we're letting the devil speak to us, come here, come here. And what he's saying to us isn't the truth. Things ain't going too good for us. You got that? If we're listening to his lies and believing it and accepting it and acting on it, things can't be too good. We're not on the road to winning. We're not on the road to victory so far. When are we going to get tired of losing? One of the biggest tools the devil has is being able to lie. He convinced the angels he was right because he lied to them, and they believed it, one third of them. He convinced Eve that he was right, and she believed it, and she was deceived. And if we're not careful, he'll do the same thing to us. When he whispers in our ear, we'll believe his lies. Come here. You know that sin's bigger than you, don't you? you know you're never going to get victory, don't you? You know you can't overcome that, don't you? Hey, come here. You know you're weak, don't you? You know you'll always fail, don't you? Come here a minute. Let me talk to you. Come here a minute. Yeah, come here. I'm talking to you. Come on. You know that problem's never going to get better, don't you? You know they're never going to get saved, don't you? You know things will never improve, don't you? You know it's too late, don't you? He lies to us, and if we're not careful, when we listen to his lies, which way are we going, up or down? Down. I'm asking us a question. I'm heading toward the answer. When are we going to get tired of losing? When are we going to get tired of listening to his lies and believing them to be the truth? Now, in ourselves, we are weak. But if we're saved, we're not by ourselves. In ourselves, we are inept. But we're not by ourselves. In and of ourselves, things will not improve. But we're not by ourselves. The devil lies to us. And if we listen to his lies, we will always, always be defeated and know little or nothing about victory. And I ask a question, when are we going to get tired of losing? The devil's a liar. He lies. And I'll say this and move on. It isn't wise to listen to a liar. You ever known somebody who lie all the time? Get to where you don't even listen to them. Because you know probably they ain't telling the truth. The devil is a leader. The devil is a liar. But notice what he says. We are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. Paul's saying, we're God's children. We're God's children. And because we are his children, and because the Holy Spirit of God lives in us, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. You know what he's saying? We don't have to lose all the time. We don't have to always be defeated. We don't have to always listen to his lies. We don't always have to listen when he talks to us. We know for sure that there's victory in Christ Jesus. The devil is a leader. The devil is a liar. But thank the Lord, he's a loser. It's like your favorite team played this afternoon, and you didn't get to watch it, so you recorded it, and somehow some big mouth told you what the score was before you got to watch the game. And at least this time, your favorite team did win, but you want to watch the game anyway. And through the first quarter and the second quarter and the third quarter, your team's just getting, they are getting smeared. They are being stomped. And you think, my goodness, they're acting like a bunch of high school boys. But you think, but I know the final score. And I know, even though they may be down right now, they are not losers. They are winners. They have the victory. I know that. And that's how it is with the devil. He's a loser. One day he's going to be cast in a lake of fire. And he's going to stay there forever. But until then, God has given us, as God's children, victory over him. That's what Paul said. We are not ignorant of his devices. Times he gets us down. Times we'll let him get us down. But we're losing to a loser when we do it because he's already lost. When are we going to get tired of losing to a loser? Jesus said, just about the time he's heading to the cross, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. The cross won the victory for us. And by faith, we need to accept that. And that's the message I cannot get into because I will not have time. trying to sort of just whet our appetite this evening. But the devil is a loser, and we are victors. So I almost said conclude, but that'll lead you astray. That'll mislead you. Because conclude sort of usually means you're getting ready to get close to the end. And I ain't. But I will continue. That's a better word. How do we defeat him? I'm tired of him defeating me. I'm tired of him defeating me. I prayed this morning, Lord, please help me to live this day for you and wake up tomorrow morning saying, thank you, Lord, you helped me through another day. I asked the Lord yesterday morning, help me live just today. And I back up and said, no, Lord, not all day, just 2 hours. And then the next 2 hours, then the next 2 hours. Just help me live for a few minutes. Help me to have victory for just this little slot of time. And when I get to the end of this slot of time, I'll pick out another one. And we'll pick our way on home. How do we defeat him? Let me throw in this. It may not be him. It may be me. I'll be honest. I don't think I keep the devil near as busy as I think I do. Because my flesh keeps me in enough trouble where I don't even think the devil has to spend a whole lot of time with me. Not even a mumble or an amen. This flesh by itself is against the things of God. And if there wasn't even a devil, we'd have a battle. And a lot of times what we blame on the devil ain't really had a whole lot of influence over. It's just our flesh. We have given in to our flesh. And I'm not talking about just sin. I'm not talking about anything. Defeat, discouragement, fear, anxiety, laziness, selfishness. I mean, you make the list. Any of these things that are contrary to the will and work of God, a lot of times it's not even the devil. It's just our flesh. And we're giving in to the flesh. We're giving in to us. And I want to tell you something. When we give in to the flesh, there's going to be consequences that are negative. We will reap the result of living according to our flesh. And when we're reaping the result of what we have done in the flesh, there ain't no need in blaming God. Because it isn't God's fault, it's mine. And there's times we'll pray and say, Lord, help me. And he says, no. You got yourself in the mess. I tried to not get you to go in and do what you did and get yourself in the mess. You didn't listen to me and you got yourself in the mess. Now you just get out of it. I'm glad he didn't always say that. I'm glad he's a merciful God. Amen. And comes in mercy and grace when we don't deserve it more times than not. But there are times, and I believe more than we realize, where he says, you made your bed, now sleep in it. But let's get back to the devil. How do we defeat him? How do we stop getting torn up by the enemy? How do we accept and experience the victory that we already have? Well, I'll say this, and I believe it. We can't stop him from attacking. Maybe we can. I'll mention it in just a minute. Don't forget it. But for the most part, we cannot stop him from attacking. And therefore, we need to know him. Knowing the enemy is one of the most important things of being victorious over the enemy. Knowing his tactics, knowing what's worked for him in the past. If I fall in the same trap I fell in yesterday and last year and the year before that, and if I keep falling in the same old trap, he's going to keep springing the same trap. As long as it works, he's going to keep on using it. So we need to recognize him. Wait a minute. That's the devil. That voice I'm hearing is coming from the wicked one. That influence said, come here. Come here. That's not from God. That's not from the Holy Spirit. And we need to be alert. We need to be tender enough through the Spirit's power and grace to detect the enemy's voice and understand that's the devil. He's lying to me again. How do you win? Recognize your enemy. Understand. How do you win? Put on the armor. I'm just going to use a shotgun tonight, so I hope you catch all the pellets. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Ain't that what we're talking about? Put on the, he's telling us how. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, I do know this. He's talking about the devil, and he's talking about me, and he says, put on the whole armor. I'll say it again. God will allow him to attack us. The Lord will allow the enemy to attack us. But we don't have to lose. For the Lord has given us armor. Another thing I could preach 30 more minutes on, don't have time. I'm just trying to whet your appetite. The Holy Spirit in us. The Word of God in front of us. Those are the tools that God uses. A lot more, the whole armor of God. God has given us the defense to protect us against the attack of the devil. He has given us what we need, but we must use what he has given us or we will be soundly defeated every time. How do you defeat him? Put on the whole armor. Put it all on. I encourage you, read Ephesians 6 and go through item by item. If you have to, get up in the morning and say, I'm putting on my breastplate, I'm putting on my helmet, I'm putting on my shoes. Put it on item by item, faith and all that's involved. I don't have time. Ask God to help you to put these things on by faith. God will give us grace. That's why James says, but he giveth more grace. Do you realize the devil has to get permission before he can look in my direction? Hit me. Now, I'll tell you what, he's a pit bull. He's a mean scoundrel. He's wicked, he's mean, he's powerful, he's strong, he's angry, and he's intentful. But he's on a leash. And God won't let him come but so far. That tells me the one holding the leash is stronger than the pit bull, scared me to death with his barking. And that tells me that my God has more power than my enemy. And he said, God said, he giveth more grace. He will help me if I let him. Boy, I wish I had time to go in all these things. I just don't have time. I'm telling you, there's help to be had. That's why James 4:7, I had to get to this verse sooner or later, says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Listen to this. I want to pause a minute just to think about it. And he will flee from you. Flee means exactly what it sounds like. He'll run away. It literally means he will run away, but it also means to shun. to avoid. Wouldn't you like to be the kind of Christian that the devil says, whoa, I'm going to go around this way. Didn't know they was there. Wouldn't you like to be the kind of Christian, whoop, ain't going to try that again. I know what happened last time. They got the power of God on them. They believe the word. They know what the Bible says. Whoop. Wouldn't you like to be the kind that makes the devil run? That's what that verse tells us. It ain't a fairy tale. I'll be honest, I spend a good time trying to run away from the devil, trying to avoid him and shun him, and we ought to. We ought to. The Bible tells us to. But I sure wouldn't like it. Every once in a while, maybe it has happened when the devil just tried to avoid me because he said, ain't no need to try. Now, don't misunderstand me. He will be back. He will try again. But every once in a while, it would be nice not to lose. When are we going to get tired of losing? He says, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will run away. I'm thinking about a dog going, whoop, running away. So what does the verse say? I'm talking about how do we defeat him. That's misleading. How is he defeated? Because how we do we defeat him sounds like me and you. And that won't work. That's why he just beats the tar out of us all the time. We try on our own. And he just laughs and giggles and says, look at them trying on their own again. Whoop. So how is he defeated? Verse tells us, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We're in the middle of a battle. We just get mixed up in the middle of a battle. The battle's between God and the devil. And since we're in the middle of this battle, and God wants to control us, and God wants to empower us, and God wants to get glory through our lives, and the devil wants to influence us, and the devil wants to control us, and the devil wants him to get glory through our lives, we're just stuck in the middle of this battle. And the Lord says the way you get help in the middle of the battle you're in that's just throwing you every which way, first, you submit yourself to God. It is a military term that says, reporting for duty. Whatever you say, I'll do it. Like a private saying, yes, sir, Sergeant. Tell me what I'll do. I'm supposed to do. I'll do it. Even if I don't want to, because I know it's the right thing. Our first step of the seeing the devil defeated and not losing so much is submitting ourselves to God. It's saying, and here's where we stumble. A lot of times we don't get here, let alone we ain't even dealing with the enemy yet. A lot of us fall right here because submitting yourselves therefore to God means I do what he says do. Most of us can't even get past that. And we're wondering why the devil's beating the tar out of us and why we can't win over him. We can't even get past the first step. Lord, here's my life. I give it to you. Submit means surrender. Submit means give up. Submit means run up the white flag of surrenderance. Lord, I no longer fight against your will. I no longer fight against what you want me to do. I don't resist you anymore. I submit. The first step in victory, the first step of not losing, is submitting yourself to God. Let him have control of our lives. I can't have my will and defeat the devil. So I must submit my will to my God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Submit yourself to him. Develop a close communion with your Lord. I say this all the time, and we're still not getting it. If we don't have close communion with our Lord, we have no power for the enemy. We have no hope against the enemy. We must first submit ourselves to the Lord, which means I give myself to Him, but it means I develop a close communion with Him. Trying to overcome the devil without help from God is like trying to overcome an enemy with no weapons. It ain't going to work. You know what? We're going to lose a lot. When are we going to get tired of losing? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Obey Him. You see, the only way we can be victorious over this enemy that we ain't even gotten to yet is that God gives us grace. Understand that? And the only way I can get grace from the God of heaven to help me in the battle is that I get right with Him and stay close to Him to where He can give me the grace I need. And that's why it starts with submitting myself to God, because I need grace that only He can give me for the fight with the enemy. Submit yourself to God. Develop a close communion. Get in this Word. Talk to God. Just talk to Him. Lord, You gave me a good day today. I'll tell you the truth, I really don't like this rain, but You know what we need. Now, I thank You for it. Thank You for being able to come to church. And as you're praying and talking to the Lord, just communing with Him, you're developing that closeness, that communion, and He's going to help you and show you and develop you to where you can get help for fighting the devil when the time comes. Trust the Lord. Lord, I know that You always do right. And I can't explain it and I don't understand it, but Lord, I look to You and I honor You and I thank You. And I ask You to give me strength and give me wisdom. Give me the desire I need to face the devil. Give me the wisdom I need to not give in to him. Give me the grace I need to be victorious. What's the first step in defeating the devil? Submitting yourself to God. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Not only do we submit ourselves to our God, but when the time comes, which just about, to tell you the truth, is just about always, constantly, when the time comes, we resist the devil. Lord renewed my spirit a few days ago as I was praying. And just to be honest, I was praying about something that was heavy on my heart. I was praying about a burden. I was praying about something that was troubling me. I was praying about something that was just about to get me down. And the Lord stirred my heart to say this to the devil, devil, I ain't gonna give in to your mess. This is a battle. It's not a playground. And I am not, by God's grace, I am not giving up the battle because I have somebody stronger than you. Face this battle as it is. It's a battle. It's a war. Resist. You don't give in to the enemy. You don't let your guard down with the enemy. You resist. That's another military term, which means to stand. I'm not talking about your own strength. Well, I preach that enough where I shouldn't even have to say that, but I need to remind us. I'm saying in His strength, in God's power, resist. Devil, you're a liar. Devil, I'm not giving in. God's helping me. God, by His grace, will enable me. Devil, you're a liar. I'm not listening to your lies. Come here. Come here. No. You're lying to me. Come here. Come here. Come here. No. Resist. Resist. Whatever you're battling with right now, whatever's heavy on your heart, don't you let the devil defeat you about that. Don't you let the devil get you down. He's a liar. He's a defeated foe already. And your God has grace enough to get you through it. If you rely on his grace and you'll stand against the devil with the grace God gives you. When are we going to get tired of losing? Resist the devil. It means to set against, to oppose. And since the devil is saying, come here, let's talk some things over. What we're resisting many times is what comes natural to us. What he's suggesting is that which comes the easiest. Easy to sin. Easy to give up. Easy just to lay down. Easy to quit. And we need to, by God's grace, say, no, devil, this is a battle. And I want to remind you whose side I'm on. Oh, you can whip me, but you can't whip him. You can fool me, but you can't fool him. I'm talking about talking to the devil in case you're missing it. Resist him. Stand against him. Peter said like this, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Don't give in. Don't surrender. This is war. I'm not going to listen to you, devil. I close with this verse. Be sober. Every thought, every verse, I want to go woof and go out on a rabbit trail because I'm just going with my shotgun tonight and there's so much more that's needed. But I'll read the verse. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for somebody he can whoop. And ain't nobody here above that. Nobody big enough to take care of his battles. His attack. Nobody's smart enough to outsmart him, but our God is. And the devil's looking around, searching out. He knows you, knows me. He's trying to find somebody. Ha ha, ha ha, ha, there, that one. And if we open ourselves up to his, come here, his suggestions, that's how he does. Through our thoughts, by speaking, by his influence, by his words. Come on. Come here. Come on. Before long, we'll listen to him to where we'll do what he says. And we'll be defeated as a result. And we don't have to be defeated. If the victory that most of us, do you see this? This means me mostly. If the victory we experience is all the victory that Calvary bought, Jesus got cheated. You get that? But it's not. We can be victorious in and through Christ Jesus, and we don't have to lose anymore. This evening, some of you may be past the submit, and you just need to say, no, devil. Some of you may be on the first step and have to start by submitting. Some of you may be first learning how the devil's getting to you. And how his suggestions have been victorious for him so far. Don't know where we're at in the journey. But I do know this, submitting and resisting. That's how he says, we'll make the devil flee. To where he'll finally say, whoa, not them again. Let's stand together.